Now I grew up down an old dirt road in a town you wouldn't know. My pops picked the place up for 1500 bucks back in 1964. My grandfather was a drinker.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Holy cow, it feels good to be back in the saddle, Danielle. It's been a while. We've been preempted by that pesky basketball lately.
No, it's been very odd not coming here and rooting for the team. I don't know who was playing.
Yeah.
Who was playing, Waukesha High School or something?
I think there was Waukesha High School, and then I think they had a Muskego game in there or something like that. But, hey, man, we have an awesome show, like a premier show, Raising Wisco tonight. We've got the chairman of the Natural Resources Committee of the State of Wisconsin Senate, Senator Rob Stafschult, with us, and government affairs director for a longtime friend, taxidermist, worldwide hunter, all around very good looking guy. I think I can say that. I can say that about Dan Trawicki, because I know a lot of people feel that way. Very fit as well. Ironman triathlete, which is also fun. And we've been friends a long time, but we've got a fantastic show because what we have is Government Director SCI, the Safari Club International Convention was this past week in Nashville. The Northeast Wisconsin chapter of the Safari Club International was up north in Green Bay. I had the honor and privilege of heading up there talking to those guys. And this is kind of a weird part of the year, in my opinion, when it comes to hunting and fishing, because We've gotten a taste of spring already.
Oh, yeah.
I stepped out of my door this morning, and the first thing I heard was meep, 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 meep. There were snow geese flying over my house.
Snow geese flying
there
over.
There was a pack of Canada geese flying over, and I was hearing the tweets of the snow geese, and I looked up, and sure as heck, there were three snow geese kind of at the end of the V. Danielle,
nice.
Do you know why one of the lines of the V is longer than the other one? Do you know why?
Well, I want to go with my fun guess that I added in my head. That because they all live in pairs, they pair up, and I shot that person, that goose's
That's a good
other.
One. I've never heard that theory
That's
before.
What it is. They still fly on that
That's
side.
That's not bad.
And this and the other one.
In fact, I think the senator and Dan Trawicki got a little chuckle out of that because I haven't heard. The standard answer as to why one of the lines of geese is longer is because there's more geese in it.
Oh, dear Lord. Just like the tire is only flat on the bottom.
There you go.
I
think that does. Stafschult, what?
Dan, I can see this is a high tech show. We better be prepared.
You better get ready. I mean, this goes to depths you've never imagined before. Stafschult, I'm going to start with you just because you're easier to pick on than Dan. But Senator Stafschult, you literally drove here directly from the Capitol today.
I did.
We kicked off a brand new session. Congratulations to you on the new session and your appointments. You have been known as a leader in the outdoor industry in the Senate. The fact of the matter, and I want to get real with this, the fact of the matter is there are not many members of the legislature who are real avid hunters or fishermen anymore or outdoors folks like there used to be, are there?
No. And in fact, when I first got elected to state office, I come from northwestern part of Wisconsin, and that's definitely a way of life for a lot of people in that area. And so I just assumed that it would be pretty well represented in Madison in the Capitol, and that's just simply not true. Sportsmen in general are a minority for elected officials in the Capitol, I would say. There's some great folks there that do share those values, but it's definitely not a major number as far as percentage of the total elected officials in that building, for sure.
I was very surprised when I sat in the assembly. I actually had the privilege of chairing Natural Resources as well, and we worked together. You were in the assembly at the time. But what I will say is it's an advantage, it's a disadvantage, and it's an advantage because I know the folks in there look to people like you, Mary Felskowski, Patrick Teston, Romain Quinn, who was just elected. Folks like Dan and I, we look to you because you are not afraid to take on the leadership roles in protecting Second Amendment rights and your right to hunt and fish, which is constitutionally guaranteed in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, we've got How is it looking for us? I know we've got a divided legislature and governor's office, but how does that look?
You know, we do have a divided legislature and a governor, and I think that demographically, they come from the governor's office comes from a different place than I do, geographically, and values are perhaps different from time to time. But we need to work across those lines, and I will say that the Republican Senate and Assembly listen to sportsmen, and they have their best interests at heart. A lot of those elected officials from both sides of the aisle, as you well know, would come to those of us that represent those values and say, hey, this is something I heard at a sportsman's banquet back home, or this group came and talked to me and this is important. What do you think? So I think it's a pretty good network of people getting information. It's just whether or not we can get real solid reforms through the Assembly and the Senate and then get them to the governor's desk. And it's a different perspective there. So sometimes they share a perspective and sometimes they don't. So it can be a little harder to get some of those things through with the administration that we have.
No, I think that's absolutely true. And Dan, I want to talk to you about that for a second. You know, you've been working on sportsmen's issues for quite a while now. And to say that there is a philosophical difference between the legislature and the governor's office, I think sometimes puts it mildly. But I also think even in if you have one of the branches of government that's not necessarily aware of sportsmen's issues or cares specifically about sportsmen's issues, in the state of Wisconsin, you cannot hold office or an elected position and not care about sportsmen's issues, because isn't that indeed kind of a fundamental part of being from Wisconsin? Because we've got the Great Lakes, we've got great land, and we've got great resources.
Well, I think Senator Safschul said it best. It depends where you're from. In his part of the state, New Richmond, it's a way of being. Downtown Milwaukee, Madison, Dane County, Green Bay, Brown County, not so much. But before I even go into that, I think Senator Safschul is being modest, and you are too a little bit. As somebody who lobbies for pro-hunting bills in this state, I'm just telling, and you know this, Joel, there is not a recreational bill that is going to get passed in this state that Senator Safschul does not have his thumbprint on. It simply doesn't happen. And so when you have Rob, who I consider a friend, you know, somebody that it's not what he does, it's who he is. That's sort of the analogy I like to use.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like when we talk about Safari Club and we stand in front of groups of people, we're not just talking about something that we know a little about. It's who we are to the core of our being. And that's what Senator Safschul is. That's what you are, Danielle. I know all the same. So to get back to your original question, not necessarily are legislators going to feel that it's an important issue. It depends who their constituents are.
And, you know, Danielle, you're an avid hunter. You're the real deal when it comes to hunting. You're out there in the cold, in the heat, yes. Chasing ducks. I've seen you chase ducks 3-4 days without, you know, killing a duck. Mm-hmm. And true hunters are about hunting, not just killing.
This is true.
Do you think the average person who hunts the state of Wisconsin has a grasp on or understands the gravity of what happens in that building in Madison and how much it affects the average hunter?
So I'm going to be the party poopy here. I believe we do not, because I am definitely one of those people that do not know what goes on. When it comes to the government, I get scared. And I just go to the woods and hide out and do my thing, which is unfortunate. But I know, I'm sorry, I'm
no,
in the room with all of you people.
Think,
and I'm like,
look,
I don't even know what is going on.
I think you are hitting on precisely the point that Dan Trewicki and I have talked about, that Senator Safschul and I have talked about, and that is that we have hunters and fishermen in this state per capita as much, if not more, than any other of the 50 states. And they're out there in the woods because they are afraid to talk to their elected officials, and they are afraid to upset the waters. And instead, as a group, hunters and fishermen are just use what's dealt to them instead of going in there and making a change and making a difference.
Yeah, because, like, you know, I'm happy right now. I'm like, what? what you guys have done is I'm very happy. I have food in my freezer. I have ammo in my closet. I have guns in my chest. Like, I'm good. So I feel like I don't have to. I'm sorry, but I feel like I don't have to do anything. I want to do something, but I want to.
This is it.
Here's the most frustrating part for me, because I worked with a number of different groups. I always assumed incorrectly that hunters and conservationists and outdoorsmen cared and voted. Okay, they care, but the bottom line is they don't vote. We found that time and time again that we could swing so many of these elections in a way that supports the outdoor heritage, but we're not voting. And there's a big part of me that simply says, I don't get it. Because I just assumed people who are out there are passionate and are going to care. And Senator, I mean, I don't get it.
I think they've lost hope. I think they go in the woods because they are passionate about going in the woods. They go to the waterways because they're passionate about hunting, about food plotting, about collecting antlers in the spring. I think what has happened is that they truly believe they are not important enough to be part of the process. And it's people like Senator Stafshult who actually invite them to the table. But guys, women, sportsmen and women, it's about us getting up and being part of the process now, or it's not going to change.
Yeah, and I'll just say that I was one of those people. I mean, 15 years ago, I was one of those people who would rather, if I had an extra half a day on a Tuesday, I'd much rather head up into the woods of northern Wisconsin and go grouse hunting, go fishing, do some scouting for bear, whatever it was. And honestly, those people who... those of us who like that lifestyle, a lot of it, the attraction is serenity. Yes. It's the quiet. It's being away from people. So the idea of coming to Madison to testify is difficult.
Yeah.
The closest to the Capitol I've been is ice fishing on the water.
Right.
And you're probably
the closest I've ever
been. And I'm going to guess you never thought to yourself, I'm ice fishing here. And the laws that govern the way I fish is right there. I'm going to go in there and make sure I can continue doing what I'm doing.
It's only the first segment of the show, and I'm already motivated to
do
better.
Do you see what I'm saying?
To do better.
This show is changing lives. This show is emphasizing the recreational chances we have in the state of Wisconsin, the natural resources we have. We've got two of the top experts in the state, Dan Trawicki, Senator Rob Stafshult. We're going to be right back. We're going to hear about the National Safari Club International Convention. We're going to talk about Rob Stafshult about what we can expect for sportsmen and women coming up. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside the real and true Hunter, who has a tan for some reason right now.
I work outside.
It's February.
It's
March.
It's just my face. It is literally just
okay.
My face. My
all right.
Arms,
Danielle Fairman.
Hello. Welcome.
Co-host of Raised in Wisco.
Adventure Man Joel.
Adventure Man Joel Clayfish right here. I wear that with pride. And if you weren't listening to the first segment of the show... I'm fired up. And it is because we have this disconnect between the outdoor users in the state of Wisconsin and the rules and laws that govern them that are put in place or vetoed by people who do not spend their time in the waters and woods of the state of Wisconsin. Now, that exclusion, excluding Senator Rob Stafshult, who joins us for this hour, Dan Trawicki, Government Affairs Director for Safari Club International. I got to tell you, I had the privilege of going up and giving an update to the Safari Club International Northeast chapter, which was in Green Bay. I was blown away by how many people were there. But you know what I did? You know what I did? And I did it on a whim. You know, we call the Kennedy clan our listeners from Oconomowoc.
Oh, yes.
Robin Kennedy and
Hello,
her family.
Robin.
She's got a son named Aiden who had never stepped foot in the woods before. Never. I met Aiden, kind of a quiet young man, to himself, a joy to be around, really nice guy. And I said, do you ever think about hunting in your life? Not really, but it's something I'd like to try. I took him turkey hunting this fall, fall turkey hunting. We gave it 3 or 4 tries, got nothing, you know, around the decoys. Finally, on the 5th try, we had a hen fly out of the roost and land in the decoys. 40 of them flew to the other side of the field, but one was fooled. And so he took his first shot on an animal and bagged his first turkey, and we made turkey pot pies from it. And this kid,
delish.
Aiden, was thrilled to death.
That's awesome.
It changed his life. Yeah. Now, instead of a bike for his next birthday, he wants a shotgun. And now he is sold on spending his time away from a TV, away from his phone, and in the woods of the state of Wisconsin. And when I tell people, take somebody hunting, you know, the old saying, take a kid hunting. I don't care if they're a kid or an adult. The fastest growing population in hunting is women. Take somebody hunting, because the first time they get that animal, and I'm going to tell you the best part to me is the real apprehensive person. I don't know if I could shoot if I see it. Well, I'm going to tell you, when that turkey hits the corner of the furthest part of the field, they're trying to crawl over to you to get the gun and say, can I shoot yet? So get them out there, and they're going to have an experience like they've never had before. And Danielle, you know what it's like. You're hooked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you and I have been hunting together for more than a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Get them out there. So then, in addition to that, I took Aiden with me up to the Northeast chapter of the Safari Club International.
Oh, that's nice.
I said, I'm going up there. I need an intern, a photog. Will you come take some pictures? Well, this kid going booth to booth up there, looking at the taxidermy, sampling the jerky and the food and going to the banquet. His eyes were opened to hundreds of people with literally the same goal in mind, to preserve and protect the rights we share as sportsmen and women in the state of Wisconsin. And I had such a look, I get the hair on my arm stands up just even talking about it. I can't imagine, Dan, what it must have been like at the National Convention in Nashville.
Well, two things. First of all, you know, what we always say, and you and I have had this discussion, you can buy kids or you can buy people all the gifts you want and all the presents and all that kind of stuff. But the gift of your time is the most valuable thing that you can give to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all done it. We've all taken it. And you also said it, Joel, not necessarily kids. You know, Ansha shot 2 turkeys 2 years in a row. You know, didn't know a turkey call from anything, you know, but it's just... it's time spent. It's a great encounter. And so, yeah, it's wonderful. But that gift of time is priceless.
Oh, my gosh. I always say this. You'll never be on your deathbed and say, I'm glad I didn't do it.
You want to know one of the good things about bringing somebody new? Because you don't have to talk. You can just sit there for 6 hours and not talk.
Right.
And it's just you're still bonding. You're still having that moment and still creating a memory. And you don't have to talk.
Right.
Aiden was sitting next to me.
Toughest thing for Joel.
Yeah, that is tough for me.
And
that's
not sleeping.
That is why I love waterfowl hunting, because I don't have to shut my app. You know what I mean?
Well, even turkey hunting. You can be with a kid. You can talk. You can carry on. Usually, you know when the turkeys are getting close, you know.
Right, right.
And,
oh, yeah.
And so, and even if they don't get one, they're going to hear them gobble.
Oh, that's
they're going to
so
see
exciting.
Birds
nothing
on the edge
better.
Of the field. That's as good as it gets.
I don't even need a turkey call.
No, it's perfect.
Let's talk about how was Nashville? That must have been like beyond explanation.
It was crazy. So, Safari Club really made a big decision a few years ago. It's always been in Reno or Vegas since the beginning of time for Safari Club. And so they made their first switch this year to Nashville. And I think there was a lot of trepidation about how would this be received. And it was off the charts, the best ever. First of all, central part of the country that everybody could get to, you know, easy enough. All of the outfitters I talked to, and anything that you have ever thought about, dreamt about, or saw a picture of to hunt, there was an outfitter there representing it. And you know, a lot of people have this misnomer that Safari Club is about African hunting or, you know, a wealthy man's sport. But there were so many people there, you know, with pheasant hunts, goose hunts, duck hunts, wild boar hunts, alligator hunts. I mean, it was just as much of that. And of course, you know, the taxidermy was just off the charts. And the chance to walk up and meet the people that will actually take you on the hunt is invaluable.
Oh, that is invaluable. You could ask them every question under the sun.
Right.
And you're a taxidermist.
True.
Yourself. So that had to be kind of neat, seeing all the taxidermists.
Incredible, incredible work. Yeah, it was beautiful to see.
Yeah, that's awesome. Holy cow, 40 seconds left in the segment. I tell people this, the show flies.
It flies.
I don't think they believe me until they're sitting in the chairs. So I was just about to start it, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to tell the story. You don't have to spend a lot of money to get into hunting. One of the greatest hunts of my life I did with Senator Stafshult, the first Wisconsin bear I ever hunted in my life with him. And it was years in the making, and it was a heck of a payoff. Folks, keep listening. This is a fantastic show. Senator Rob Stafshult, Dan Trewicki, Danielle, and me will be right back. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside co-host Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
We've got State Senator Rob Stafshult from up there, up north, over there to the side, over kind of by the Mississippi River and that, Over there, kind of,
Up yonder.
Is that about where it is over there, kind of by the river a little bit?
We're a little north of that. We got the St. Croix River up
there. Over by the St. Croix River. the Mississippi turns into the St. Croix up there. And Dan Trewicki, who just got back from the National Safari Club International Convention in Nashville. You saw Big and Rich there, didn't you?
Ooh,
it was incredible. It was at a very small venue.
And well, that makes it great there.
It was crazy. And we happened to walk up to the bar just because it was right next to the stage. And I was like, can we stand here? And they went, sure. And they just started to come out. So there was a group of us. I mean, we were like from me to you, from John Rich. And I mean, it was just high energy from start to finish.
Awesome.
You want to talk about patriotic.
Oh,
and guys that actually believe it. I mean, it was an incredible good show.
Well, you can tell. You can absolutely tell. And if you take a name like Big and Rich,
right,
and you say you're going to do a show for all people who are at the Safari Club International, could there be a better performer audience match? Right.
And then Cowboy Troy comes on in the middle. I mean, it's sort of it's Big and Rich, and you know Cowboy Troy is always with them. So I mean, it's just this great group, and I mean, they just absolutely rocked it, and they were playing to the house that really
I bet
wanted.
They were. And, you know, I get to work for the Fowl Life on the Outdoor Channel, and Chad Belding is the national host of that. And he was at that show backstage with Big and Rich. And I just thought, I was like, oh, my gosh, I got Dan, my buddy Dan's in the front row, and Chad Belding's backstage. I mean, they're right there. How exciting that must have been. I want to talk just a minute about kind of the misperception, even with Safari Club International, the potential misperception that, oh, that's for big money hunters. That's for, you know, you got to have 10 grand to go on a hunt and or you have to. That is absolutely not the case.
Well, you're right. And that actually is the reason for the name change, if you will. I mean, we all know it as Safari Club International, but now it's just known as SCI. That was a specific reason it was done to change that misnomer of, you know, Safari Club, like I have to go on safaris to be part of this club. And so the club is, it's just called SCI now, and it's SCI First for Hunters.
And I think that was the best marketing, most true to form marketing change anybody could make, because when they say First for Hunters, that's what they literally mean. Hunters are put first in their efforts. And you can be a first-time hunter, and hunting is a fundamental first right that we have to protect in this state. And that brings me around to one of the things I was going to talk about, one of the greatest hunts I've ever had in my life, and I've been privileged to be able to hunt around the world. And one of the best hunts in my life, I met Senator Stafshult back before he was a senator, before he was an assemblyman, and before I was in the state assembly. I had gone up there with Jason Hunter, a photographer from Channel 12, to go on a bear hunt, to learn what it was all about. This was literally before I always tell people I was late to hunting. I didn't hunt till I was 38 years old for the first time. So I went to go, and this was, I was younger than that when I met Rob Staffschild. I went up and we went on a bear hunt. And I have to tell you, you want to talk about adrenaline and excitement and camaraderie and becoming friends with people instantly is this group of folks in Wisconsin called the Wisconsin Bear Hunters. They are just a group like no other, tight-knit, and you're surrounded by these fantastic dogs that just love to be around people and they love to be in the woods. So fast forward, I think I don't know if I was part of convincing him to run for the legislature, but I thought we were friends at the time. I was up there taking pictures with you in your primary.
It was a weak moment, Danielle, a weak, weak moment.
You never have weak moments.
Well, he likes people to think that. And I finally drew a bear tag after 10 years, you know. So this was, I think, what, 3 years ago now? 2 or 3 years ago. So it would stand to reason. I started hunting at 38. I'm 52 now. So 3 or 4 years ago, I drew my first bear tag. And I called my buddy Rob, and I said, what do I need to do to enlist the help of the bear hunters and get up there and chase a bear and harvest a bear? And I got to tell you this story. Only because if it ended embarrassingly, I wouldn't tell it.
Oh, I'm so...
I would.
I'm sorry.
You would tell it. No, I'm sure you're going to find some way to tease me during the story anyway. So I get the bear tag, and I'm thrilled beyond belief. I'm going to go up north and chase a bear around with Rob Staffschild, my buddy from 15 years ago. So I bring with me a Smith & Wesson 460 handgun. Dan is laughing. We're sharing a mic in here. So just for the record, Dan is laughing because he knows that that has much more opportunity to go way wrong than right. And I get up there and there's a group of 20 people, all with dogs. And if you get a bear bayed, everybody comes to see. Everybody comes to watch. And I had already been at camp and been teased heartily about the fact that I brought this hand cannon handgun along. And Rob says to me,
what do you say?
Go ahead. I'll fill in. I'm not sure which part you're in.
Well, I said to Rob, these guys are really teasing me about this handgun.
Oh, yeah. This is at the point. Yeah.
Let me just use the rifle. He's got a 30-30 along with a scope on. I said, just please let me use the rifle. Everybody's standing there and they've been teasing me. Oh, this city slicker brings along a handgun. What the hell's he thinking? Oh my gosh. Well, this guy, what enough. And I'm shaking like a leaf at this point, like, oh my God, hey Rob, can I get the rifle, please?
Dan, I think he's starting to think maybe the handgun wasn't a great idea.
Just maybe.
I've actually never heard of a 460 handgun before.
Oh, it's a whopper? It's a whopper. So.
It's about 75 pounds. 40-inch long barrel.
Not loaded.
Oh. And so, full of encouragement and support, I tell Joel, you already brought it this far. Let's see you use it.
Ooh,
well, I'm
words.
Glad our memories are differing ever so slightly on what you said.
Full of support.
He looks at me and says, no. You're stupid enough to bring that thing along. Now you got to use it.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
And I'm standing there and I'm freehand with this iron sights and the bear's up in, you know, in the tree. And Rob says, all right, now shoot it between the eye and the ear with a handgun. Oh, Danielle, you're about to cry over
this. This is really funny. I can just envision.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm shaking like a leaf, and he yells, bear, bear, boom! Well, that thing toppled like a dominoes falling out.
The marksmanship was incredible.
So you actually hit the bear.
Oh, for sure.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
And just so the listeners out there know, we have the law in Wisconsin, which we passed with Joel's help, to have a backup shooter in these situations, because not everybody makes a great shot right off the bat. So,
and we want an ethical kill.
Yeah, we had a backup shooter ready in case it didn't go well with the mammoth handgun. But Joel prevailed, and unbeknownst until a little bit later, he had told me he was so nervous about getting some crap from these hunters that he had been practicing at home every day.
That's aww. Right. I was
he let
so
that
nervous.
Slip out a little later.
Well, the oldest guy in the group, or at least the most seasoned-looking member of the group, looks over, looks at the bear on the ground, looks back at me, looks up, and says, shrugs his shoulders and goes, well, I guess he can shoot.
Yep.
And everybody turned and walked away. They all turned and walked away, and I think they whispered to Rob, don't you let any other son of a bitch bring a handgun along to a bear hunt again.
Yep. Because we, you know, when you call and say, what do I need? Here's a list of equipment and things I suggest. And on that list was not.
That was not option A.
A rifle with open sights, preferably short, carbine for woods. I mean, that was kind of the list. And he didn't bring that. But the one part of the story that I'll add is that I've also been blessed, and I've hunted a lot of different things and fished a lot of places and traveled around quite a bit, especially in the Midwest. And I've been just blessed with a lot of hunts with a lot of really, really cool people. And in your head, if you think of like the 10 most memorable things, and they're often not the actual harvest point
right.
of an animal. They're
right.
they're the camaraderie, they're who's with you, you know, the tears at the end. One of the top 10 things that I will never forget is the shaking in Joel's knees once it was over.
Oh my gosh.
Like the adrenaline level going through his body when his knees, like he could have been a 3-piece band if we'd have put cymbals between his knees. It's awesome. I've seen first time hunters do that. I've seen lots of people seasoned do that. And Joel was, and the reason it's important to me and special to me is because it meant that to him. It was that exciting. He had that much adrenaline, so I'll never forget. That's in my top 10.
Yeah, that was
watching your knees shake when it was over.
That was one of the best hunts I've ever been on in my life. And again, very little of it has to do with the actual kill. Now, don't get me wrong. I love eating bear meat, and everybody who knows me knows eating the animals is important to me as the kill.
Senior guys that were perhaps a little skeptical, you warm them up with some goose pot pies.
That sounds about right. I don't remember that, but that sounds about right. And let me tell you, if you're at camp, here's a little note to the new hunter at camp. Do the dishes. Do the dishes, and you will be forever rewarded in grace by the rest of camp if you do the dishes. Don't ask. Don't tell. Just go do the dishes when everybody's
done. That also applies to at home and your household. Do the dishes without being told.
Okay, Danielle, did you call Becky before the show or what?
Yes, I did.
I do get a little laxed in that area. But so the point is, even when you go with a group, and I said to Rob, what do I need to bring? And he said, you know what? Buy some beers, buy a dinner, do some dishes at camp.
Just help out.
Help out. So you can hunt in this great state. I take probably 20 people a year turkey hunting. And Dan, I want to talk to you about this, because I think one of the best first ways to get somebody in the woods is turkey hunting. And I take 20 people a year, and I don't want a dime from them. They don't pay a dime. The fact is, you can have some of the most exciting hunts in your life. And I know this because something that's always stuck in my mind is your box call with the notches in it.
Right.
And every one of those notches has got a story. And I know a few of them are really special hunts with your daughter.
Sure.
But that's always been something that's been really important to you too, is getting people out there in the woods.
Yeah, you know, when I was still on the job, there were a lot of people at work.
He was the sheriff of Waukesha County, for those who don't know that.
So there was a lot of people at work that their kids were interested in hunting. The one year I took 6 kids out during turkey season, all 6 kids got gobblers.
Wow.
But the most important part, and a lot of other kids like you too, Joel, but the most important part, the neat thing about turkey hunting is, like I said before, you hear the gobbling. It's a cool time of year to be out because winter's over, spring is breaking, the birds are gobbling and strutting. And I mean, it's just, there is nothing more exciting than having a Tom come in gobbling.
Nothing.
And what's nice too with, and we say kids all the time, but again, it's new hunters, I should say, you know, especially if they're a little nervous, putting them in a tent, you know, in a turkey
tent.
Right,
where you get a little more movement.
You can get away with movement. You can get away with a little bit of whispering, you know, and it's just, again, it goes back to you can buy kids all the stuff you want, but the gift of time is the best thing you can give them. And where else, like with my daughter. So when she bow hunts or she gun hunts, I sit with her, you know, and it's like my daughter will be 30 this year. So when else do I have the time for 3 or 4 hours at a time in dead silence, no distractions, and we can whisper back and forth about jobs and marriage and kids and sports and athletics and spending that time with your child. You know, it's the best thing.
No question. Hunting and using the natural resources in the state of Wisconsin is the best way to spend time. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman on 540 AM, WAUK, 101 FM, The Shaw. What a show it has been. What a fantastic show. If you guys don't ever watch this show on Facebook, you really should, because Calvin, what kind of filter are you running on me right now? What are you doing?
That one's all you, Joel.
Maybe it's Calvin's Maybelline.
Calvin's running some kind of filter that is making me look the best I ever have looked. There's not a wrinkle on my face. I look tan, rested, and ready. And God knows that's not the truth. Danielle, come on. Look at that.
I need real life.
I need to walk around real life with a monitor that makes me look like this. My beard doesn't look gray at all.
It doesn't look
great. Cheekbones
look
higher.
Because it's nice and trimmed.
It takes away gray.
Holy cow.
We need to do that.
I think it even, it may be, yeah, Trawickian Statchel could use the non-gray filter, that's for sure. It even looks like I got more hair than I actually do. Senator Statchel, man, so awesome to have you here on the show with us. I'm going to warn you, we're going out to grab a bite to eat after this. So if you're listening and you want to meet us, we're going to head out to the Concord Inn in Concord, Wisconsin. Friends of ours own it out there. It's fantastic. You can talk to us about gator hunting with Triple J Outfitters if you want. I'm heading down to Florida this weekend to go chasing gators. I'm telling you, Rob, right off the bat, Ella Rose, my college sophomore, her boyfriend is going to be meeting us there to have
dinner. Oh, I like it.
And I warned him ahead of time. I said, if Staff Schultz along, he's got a 19-year-old daughter too. So he may be even harsher on you than I am usually. So I did warn him ahead of time.
Yep.
You're kind of an intimidating guy. I mean, with the prestige of the whole senator thing and all that, you know.
Well, I don't have my chainsaw with it. I typically.
I bet it's in the truck.
I got some steel gloves and something to my vehicle.
So I give him the chainsaw test. If you can't start and run a chainsaw,
this
you're out.
Is brilliant.
Oh, I like
that. Okay, that's how I feel with people backing up.
You have to be able to provide warmth and safety for the daughter. And if you can't start a chainsaw.
I'm a little worried because I'm not afraid I could start a chainsaw, but...
Joel, yes, you could.
Becky's trapped. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, that's the way that's working.
Trapped already. Well, I'm trapped. Just kidding, honey. Love every second of it. Here's an odd fact, though. Danielle carries... What is that stuff you were talking about? The grease, the lubricant that you carry with... Danielle carries, I'm not making this up, like diesel truck mechanic grease with her everywhere she goes.
I feel like there should be a backstory to this. I feel like that's a very horrible
lead-in. You carry grease wherever you go.
I am a third-year apprentice in the Operating Engineers Union.
Oh, cool.
So I run heavy equipment, and I drive dump trucks.
Yep.
So therefore, if I want to be a good employee and... Go, girl, go. I have to have everything in there. My shovels, my scrapers, stuff for the lube. Need to have lube in there.
Yep.
And, you know, all the things.
So, Danielle.
I bring the fun side to this show.
Well, look, you definitely say the things I never would. That's for darn sure. But
do you hear that?
Yes, I know.
Exactly.
You've been trying to get rid of. She's been trying to get rid of the squeak on the mic holders for quite a while, and there's no squeak anymore. And I think you greased them up last week. So thank you. last time we were in here, it's such. We covered so many things in the show today, and always for me, people ask, "What is it about hunting?" You know, I don't make it a secret that I'm not a drinker. I'm a very social person, which was very tough for me at the beginning of hunting because being social is a little takes on a different atmosphere when you're in the blind or when you're deer hunting. But my patience has grown, and for me, it's about the completion of the circle, the provider lifestyle, if you will. Taking something from the field, from the river, from the water, and making it into something you enjoy eating. So many people will, you know, cut the back straps out of a deer, throw it on a skillet and serve it, overcook it. Or they'll take a goose breast and just throw it on a grill and cut it. And then people eat it and say, this is not tasty. Well, first of all, it doesn't taste like what you're buying from the grocery store.
No,
it doesn't.
It does
you not. Know why? It's pure. It's organic. It's not processed. It's not ground into anything at that point. And the satisfaction for me to be able to take something I made last night, I took my daughter and I were hunting in Texas. She shot a cull ibex. There were ibex, and they were bothering the markhors on the property. So obviously a markhor is a big, like, $60,000 animal. Yeah. And the little ibex, were bothering the markhor, so they wanted to call out the ibex. Well, she put a 250-yard shot on this thing and just dropped it ethically, one pop, one flop. And so you know what ibex is. It's a goat. Mm-hmm. It's a goat. Well, how many people think you can eat a goat? Probably not too many. So I put some provider spices on it with some olive oil and put it in the sous vide for 4 hours.
Oh, that sous vide, man.
Oh,
it's a game changer.
It is a game changer. If you don't know what a sous vide is, look it up. SOUSVIDE. It's a French water bath, circulating water bath. I took those steaks out and I put a little right wing sauce on them and sauteed them both sides, flash fried them till they were a little, you know, that shell, that crisp, bark, they call it on the outside.
How long before we're going to eat?
Yeah, I know. I'm getting hungry myself. And I tell you what, there they were absolutely succulent and delicious.
I believe it.
Absolutely delicious. And in today's society, I mean, Staff Schultz, you've had the goose. You were suspect of goose before you tried the goose the way I cooked it. Don't you think it's becoming so much easier in today's society to be able to cook wild game, to make it taste delicious and make it more, you know, palatable for everybody at your party?
Well, I think so. And I think, you know, technology has got a lot to do with the mechanisms or the cookers or the things we use to cook it. But
no,
I also think that technology allows people to see other people's ideas, how they cook it. Like, I'd never had a goose pup. I'm embarrassed to say it, but I had had goose several times in my life growing up and didn't care for it. A lot of that was the way it was cooked.
Oh, yeah.
Which the reason it's embarrassed because I've bear hunted my entire life and a lot of people don't like black bear, but a lot of that's cooked not the best way or for long enough or slow enough or whatever. And I've had really good bear that those that know what they're doing, it's fantastic. It's a lot
right.
like roast beef. You just got to get the fat out of it. So when you brought me goose in a pot pie, I was skeptical, but it was fantastic. I'll give you that.
Holy cow. Now that the last segment's already over. Dan Trewicki, last word from you. Most important thing to get people into hunting, I think it's exposure.
Take a kid hunting. Take a new person hunting. Take a woman hunting. You know, you'll see the whole world through their eyes. You know?
Ah!
And it's just the best way to do it.
That's the best thing to end the show on. You will see the whole world through their eyes. They take that shot and they look at you to make sure they made a good one, and you've changed their life. We'll be back